Cass County Sheriff Jesse Johnner. How you been, buddy?
I've been well. Busy.
Busy?
But well.
Have you been out testifying out west there?
I was out there on Monday, of course. We're going to talk about that.
Yep.
But I've written testimony for other bills.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that too, right? Or what are we talking about?
We're
going to talk about the truth in sentencing.
Yep.
I want to talk about that. I want to talk about, because I see that Fargo Police Chief Dave Zabolski is saying again that state statutes present challenges when it comes to law enforcement making arrests and stuff. So I want to roll through that and get your take on it. Yep. And I know Drew Wrigley, Attorney General Wrigley, has been trying to crack down. He tried last session. Nothing happened. This session is truth in sentencing and you know, consecutive sentences. Yep. It looks like this basically all went through to the House now.
Yep, it passed the Senate on Monday.
Okay. So. Also joining us on the program from Grand Forks.
Excuse me, on Tuesday.
On Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Representative Steve Vetter, I believe it's the first time I've ever had him on this program. Representative Vetter, welcome to the Jay Thomas Show.
That is correct. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Are you guys on break right now? Or are you guys actually working out there in Bismarck?
We're actually just got on break. We had Monday and Tuesday. Tuesday we started at about 8:30 in the morning, and we ended at 10:30 at night voting on bills. So we went through 107 bills in
good Lord
2 days. So it was a lot of fun.
Well,
so now we have a break. Usually. Traditionally, the House is, we take our break on Thursday. Mm-hmm. We get out on Thursday. So we got out kind of a little bit earlier than normal, and then we get back on Wednesday for the cross, you know, after the crossover break, and we take up the Senate bills, which on the House side, it's easier because we have less bills now. But on the Senate side, it's just as busy for them because now they have to deal with all our bills.
Well, I asked because I saw a bunch of pictures floating around on social media. That was one hell of a stack of pizzas I saw you people munching on. And my big question is, was that from A&B in Mandan?
I believe that was the name of the...
Oh,
yes, I think that was
so good, man. Oh, their
good.
Pizza
it is
so good.
Good.
All right, Jess, where do you want to start, buddy? What do you want to start with first?
Yeah, well, I think we can start since we have Representative Vetter on here. I know that he has to go, I think, around 4:30. He's got another commitment at 5.
4 A.M. pizza's coming.
Yeah. and I appreciate him being on here with me. So it was kind of a last-minute ask.
Before you do that, let me read what, because Chief Zabolski's been in my studio in the past on this. It had to do with street racing, saying we can't make arrests unless we actually witness the crime.
Mm-hmm.
I want to read because our Chris Larson did an interview with the chief, and he's saying this again. So I want your take on law enforcement and if what you and Representative Vetter are working on would clear up some of these challenges. That's what he calls them. Now, other law enforcement I've talked to said no, that's not the case. And I think what you guys are doing is trying to clean all this stuff up. Correct.
Yeah, just make it a little easier for the officer. I'm not sure
he said. So Fargo Police Chief Dave Zabolski says current North Dakota statutes present challenges for officers when dealing with situations. Concerns around the ability to make arrests or address certain situations have arisen because of state laws. This is his quote. When you make it not criminal, you've kind of created an unlaw, he said. When you take things like public urination or something like that and you make that a non-criminal offense, you've effectively tied the hands of the police because we can't make any type of physical arrest or address the behavior. Zabolski said the only option for authorities is to issue a ticket and walk away. He says there are a lot of things in statute that, if not criminal, there is no realization of how law enforcement is hindered. Changes would have to come from the legislative branch of government, Zabolski said. Currently, officers can only arrest for misdemeanors that occur in the presence of an officer. There are a few exceptions, however. When we get into situations for misdemeanor crimes that we didn't witness, but there's otherwise probable cause to make an arrest, he said, we can temporarily detain the person, acquire the information, and forward it to a prosecutor for review.
That is correct.
Okay.
A law enforcement officer in North Dakota can only arrest people if they witness in a misdemeanor case.
In a misdemeanor offense. Felony is different.
Felony is different, yep. So during misdemeanors, if we're not there, we don't witness it, then we cannot make that arrest, and then we're relying on victim statements, witness statements, and we take a report at that point, and we forward it over to the state's attorney for their review, and if they feel there's enough probable cause based on those statements, then they'll typically issue a warrant, and then we'll go grab that person and bring him back.
Okay, so what would fix this, Sheriff?
What Representative Vetter and I are working on right now is not really pertained to misdemeanor arrest. Mm-hmm. However, part of that that you mentioned there does kind of hinder or tie our hands a little bit, because we've had some instances where some offenses that were previously misdemeanors have changed to infractions.
Okay.
And so then with an infraction, we can't make an arrest at all, even if it happens in our presence.
Okay.
But where we've been kind of tied as far as law enforcement is concerned is if we on traffic stops from occasion, and if we have, let's say that someone goes into someone's store and they steal something from that person, if it doesn't meet that felony level and we're not there, it didn't happen in our presence, then we get called to the scene. If that person's still on scene, we're going to interview them and try to obtain their information. There have been instances or more occasions now that I've been alerted to by my staff where people do not want to provide their identification.
I've heard the same thing.
And what we usually rely on in those situations, if the person doesn't identify themselves, we have to get their information, right? Otherwise, how do we process the ticket? How do we gather that information to do the long form report?
So basically, you're saying their driver's license.
Yeah. So they provide us false information. So that's really where our hands are tied, because if that person doesn't identify themselves, then and they just sit there, then we can't really do much, because there's not a lot of language in the North Dakota Sentry Code or in statute that allows us to intervene in a different manner.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. If I run a red light, you pull me over, a license and registration, no, I'm not giving it to you. Then what happens?
Yep, so then what will happen is obviously that person's not free to go just because they're not going to give that stuff to us, but then the officer has to spend a lot of time there trying to figure out who this person is by investigative means. Like maybe in that instance we can run the vehicle and correlate names through our databases and stuff and figure it out that way. But it takes us a while. We have to investigate it for quite some time to figure out.
If we can't,
we can't figure it out, then we're really stuck there. As we try to figure it out, because we can't issue the citation, right, if we don't have the information.
So what happens? So I'm sitting there, I'm going, I'm not giving you my license, buddy.
Yeah, so typically what we've relied on is a statute in the Sentry Code that it's 12.1-08-01, and it's titled Physical Obstruction of a Governmental Function.
Okay.
But we've been running into, and so what that says is a person is guilty of a Class A misdemeanor if he intentionally obstructs, impairs, impedes, hinders, prevents, or the administration of law or other governmental function. And so typically we relied on that, and then that person's obviously committing a misdemeanor, so then we would make the arrest.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be taken to the jail.
Because you actually witnessed that misdemeanor.
Yep, because it's happening in our presence now.
Okay.
So then we would take that person to jail, and then, of course, once we get them to jail, it's a whole different thing. Even if they're still not identifying themselves when we get there, we can, fingerprint them and see if their fingerprints are on file, and we can identify them that way. Or typically on a misdemeanor, they're going to be able to bond out of jail. But if we don't have their information, they can't post bond. So now they're sitting in jail until we know who they are so they can post bond. So that it helps us eventually identify them that way.
So, again, if you pull me over and I refuse to give you my driver's license, you can still arrest me. It's just going to take some time.
But where we're running into issues is we'll use this statute, physical, as you can see, it says physical obstruction of a government function. And now we're getting some state's attorney's offices that are saying, well, someone not giving you their license, they aren't actually physically obstructing you. Some interpret it that way.
Well, because how are they not physically obstructing you? You don't know who the hell just broke the law.
Yeah, well, that's how some of them are interpreting it. So it just needs some cleaning up. It needs some clarification. And that's where we're running into issues. And a lot of times that charge will then get dropped because of how they're interpreting it.
Okay, so is that what you and Representative Vetter are working on right now?
Well, so Representative Vetter introduced this bill 1194, and this was prior to me giving him any information. So he was working on this bill before I provided any input, and of course he's got a really good bill here, and I 100% support his bill. Prior to the language that I get, I was trying to figure out how we could clean this up in North Dakota statute. I looked through the bills that were current out there, and I saw his bill. I read over it, and it definitely would apply with what we're trying to accomplish. Okay. So I contacted Representative Vetter, and he was obviously very accommodating and wanted to help however he could to promote public safety. And so he was happy to work with me to see if we can get this language into his bill.
So Representative Vetter, why were you already working on this? Was law enforcement reaching out to you and saying, Representative Vetter, we got some issues?
Well, it's the bill I was working on. It's the same subject matter. So adding this into my bill, I thought it would work. So what the sheriff here wanted me to add in, and what we're working on in the Senate to try to get a amendment to my bill, and what it will do is it would deal with the situation you were just talking about when people falsely identify themselves. Mm-hmm. So people are saying I am whoever, and they just make up a name.
Yeah.
And instead of not giving a name, they're making up something. So what this would do is it ties into the false accusations and the filing of false police report. It goes right into that section, and that's what my bill originally dealt with. It was fairly simple in the respect of what it did is it made sure that the discretion. So if somebody makes a false accusations or files a false police report, if you go into the police and say this person falsely accused me of something, and they went in and they accused you of something, you're investigated. You say, I want them charged. It's up to the state's attorney. That's how it's not the individual arresting officer, as far as the discretion. And really all what my bill did is it made sure that is the case, which is the current practice right now. It's just a matter of it made sure that the state's attorney was making that discretion. So we know if people aren't getting charged, we know the reason is because, it's the decision of that state's attorney rather than individual arresting officers. There were several constituents that came to me about this issue. And
okay.
That's why ultimately it started.
Okay.
And then when the sheriff came to me with this issue, I'm like, well, why not take care of another issue with my bill by adding an amendment in the Senate when I bring it over there? And I'm fully on board with what he wants to do here in adding that amendment. So that's what I'm going to propose to the Senate Judiciary. And I think I'm pretty friendly with them. I do serve on the House Judiciary. I'm the vice chairman on the House side.
Okay.
So I do have relationships with people on the Senate side, also on the Judiciary. So I think they'll be friendly to this amendment, and we'll be able to solve one more issue, and that's kind of generally been my goal, is to keep communities safe while balancing citizens' rights.
Yeah, this is what was added, right, Jesse? Falsely identifies or refuses to identify themselves upon request by law enforcement officer under the following circumstances: the officer reasonably suspects the individual is has committed or is about to commit a criminal offense. The officer reasonably suspects the individual is committing or has committed an infraction offense. The officer reasonably suspects the individual is committing or has committed a non-criminal offense. So you basically cover everything with this.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to show your identification.
Yep. And then it would go to the Class A misdemeanor. So if I could go back real quick, I really wanted to thank Representative Vetter, because this was a last minute addition. And he was willing to take this on, and this would really help promote, like he mentioned, public safety in our communities. There's a lot of in the instances, like I mentioned, the snatch and grab type activities where someone goes into a store or they steal something, it's that misdemeanor. They go out. It didn't happen in law enforcement's presence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now law enforcement shows up there and we're trying to gather that suspect's information. They just refuse to give it to us. So, and you, as we all know, that's occurring more and more over the country,
sort
the snatch
of,
and
yeah.
grab type.
Yep.
So he's going to help business owners or help law enforcement work with business owners to prevent this type of activity. So, and he, you know, with him adding it this late in the game, it's going to put more pressure on him.
Yeah.
If this through. So it is really, I really do appreciate, his partnership and his collaboration in trying to help law enforcement in this manner.
Email says, Sheriff, by not giving ID, aren't they physically hindering by not physically reaching into their pocket and providing it?
That's like I mentioned before, that's what we were using to charge, but now we're just kind of getting the, well, I don't know if that really fits, but I'm not saying in my opinion that it's not physical obstruction. I'm just saying that's some of the kickback we're getting now.
Yeah.
With some state's attorneys. So
representative,
the issues you run into partly is when it's not a felony or a Class A misdemeanor, when you start getting into the infractions or a ticket or some of those types of things, you don't have the same kind of, like, you can't go and get a warrant on somebody for, you know, for an infraction.
Mm-hmm.
And so so what's happening is they're just saying, hey, they're either not giving the information or they're giving false information in this case. And so that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. And Jay,
what was your question? I'm sorry.
I completely forgot.
Here's the other part of this too, Jay. I mean, not only the situations that I mentioned, but the reason that we want to run people's identifications, right, is to make sure that they don't have warrants, that they're not wanted.
Yeah.
They
well,
can
yeah.
be wanted for violent offenses. And one of the other things that we're dealing with right now, right, would be the enforcement of immigration and people committing violent stuff in reference to that. So now we stop someone, they don't identify themselves to us, we don't even know who they are, if they have a
and we
violent
know
history
that there's illegals
somewhere
here.
Else. So that's another thing that this will help with.
So how confident do you feel, Representative Vetter, this thing's going to go through on the Senate side?
Well, I'm pretty confident about
good.
It. I have, like I said, I have some friends and I have relationships. The chairman of the Senate is really friendly to, you know, to the police and, you know, kind of that side of things. And I, like I said, I know several people on the committees. Actually, two of the people on the committee used to serve in the House. So I know them pretty well. So
okay.
I'll be able to get them this information. And I don't think it's too big of a stretch. The big thing would be once we get it over in the Senate, I now need to go sell this to the House because they're like, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah.
We didn't pass this bill. We passed your bill. And so that's really the bigger point. I mean, I think it'll be okay on the Senate side. It would be just more on the House side. It's up to me to go and tell different people so that way it doesn't shock people. Go, hey, what's going on? I got to make sure they know this is coming ahead of time.
Yeah,
so,
there's nothing shocking in here.
Yeah, that's more communication on my part.
Yeah.
It's more they didn't know it was in the bill and what's this new language that we didn't approve.
Sure.
And so if I let them know ahead of time and let them know what it does, especially my chairman, I think we'll be okay, and I'll definitely be able to explain it on the floor to because what would happen is if it passes in the Senate, it comes over to the House, and now there's a conference committee. Which is a group of three House members, three Senate people, and then they hash out, well, this is what passed on your side, this is what passed on your side, what are we going to go with here? So that's how that works.
And we're not trying to be, obviously, sneaky about anything. This is just something that popped up.
This is common sense.
This was a conversation that happened with a street crimes member in West Fargo.
Yeah.
That talked to a sergeant at our agency, and the sergeant brought this to my attention, and that was a week ago. I mean, I literally gave this to Representative Vetter. Was it on? It was yesterday, right, Representative Vetter? So when I gave you, when I sent you the language
Tuesday.
And everything,
Tuesday.
So
Tuesday.
I mean, it was you know, it's just something that popped up, and I thought, boy, if we can't get this through this time, we're going to have to wait 2 years. So I asked him, and I, you know, to see what he thought, and he said, well, you know what, if we can help out, let's try it, and. So
well, and I one more time, all right. So, if law enforcement currently pulls somebody over and they refuse to give their driver's license, I'm not giving it to you. You have no idea who the hell it is. Are you still arresting them, or are agencies just letting these people go?
Yep. So here's how it would work. If we're talking a traffic stop,
Okay.
If we've had this happen, obviously the person refuses to give us the information. Sometimes they roll up their window, they talk through glass, they won't provide us their identification. The officer obviously is not going to just let that person go.
Okay.
Okay. Because they've committed a criminal violation, and that's why they've been stopped. So they're lawfully detained while we work through that traffic investigation. And so what we end up doing then is using other investigative techniques. And like I said, that could be through running the license plate, but we know that maybe the person driving might not be the registered owner.
Exactly.
So we're gonna run that license plate, and if the person driving doesn't match the photo, because we can pull up driver's license photos in our vehicles, we're gonna pull up run that license plate, get the registered owner's name, run that person, and see if it matches the description of the driver.
And if it doesn't,
then we're relying on maybe trying to contact someone else that's been associated with the vehicle to see if they may know who this person is, right? And it just prolongs the stop for a long time till we can figure out who it is. And at the end, if we can't figure it out eventually, then it comes down to, okay, we're gonna have to arrest you for obstruction of government function, because we can't sit here all day, right?
But by doing that at the end, saying, okay, we're going to arrest you for obstruction of a government function, you can do that.
Yep.
So there's no reason somebody should, if somebody's pulled over for a traffic stop, whether it's running a red light, whatever it is, there is no reason a law enforcement officer should let that person go or be told to just let that person go if they don't show their ID.
And that's going to be a last resort. We're going to try to figure it out first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then where we get sticky here, if people are again asking, well, then why do we need to do this new statute? It's because now, because it says physical obstruction of a governmental function, we're starting to get some questions from different state's attorney's offices around the state that are saying, well, we don't know if this really fits, because they're not physically obstructing you. And that's not my language. That's just what we've been told, right? And we're saying, well, okay. I mean, now we're kind of getting into the really
weeds,
but that can be something that happens through a court case.
Yeah.
Is that it gets, and so we're just trying to shore up, make the language a little clearer through this new statute with a Representative Vetter, so that it just makes it, clearer for the officer. And then again, like you said, Jay, if we're able to arrest that person and we take them to the jail, if they're still not identifying themselves, once they get to jail, then we've got other means to try to identify them.
But they're getting arrested.
Yep. And then if they're going to bond out, because they'd be able to post bond.
Can't do that without an ID.
We got to know who you are, because we got to give you a court date. We got to get your address to send you information, things like that. So they're sitting there, and then if they still don't identify themselves, then they're going to go to court, talk to the judge, and the judge will then work through that situation.
All right. Representative Vetter, anything else before I let you roll?
No, I just think it'll be a good addition to the bill, and I think I think it's kind of a quick fix, and I'm glad he contacted me when he did.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, of course. So.
Sheriff's always on top of it. All right, Representative Vetter, go get him. Get this thing done, brother.